good clean talks and shit. I'm Dolan, goodcleangoods.com. Check it out. Sell soap. This is part two with Dolan, Allison, Heather, and Ryan. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to it. Or don't.
But do.
Yeah.
That's good. Rambling. Very good.
It's my opening. I need to get some Mozart going, but you know. That takes getting my tablet and my computer and syncing them together and then recording like good clean talks.
I feel like you got all these mics whole, like, out. Opening you can get your tablet too. Yeah.
The way that I have like the two
the way that it's set up.
The
here.
Two mixers.
You see, the way that it's set up, like
it's just this thing and it's complicated and you probably wouldn't understand and yeah.
Well,
law of attraction.
Okay, so law of attraction. Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks, is the... Okay.
This is a real man who lived.
So it's a woman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is Esther. Abraham, like, the guidance Abraham, that she hears?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay, let me explain for the listeners. Esther Hicks is a person. It's a woman. Abraham Hicks, there's no gender there. It's just Abraham. Abraham Hicks is, like, she just assigns her last name to that when she writes books or, you know, posts YouTube videos or her lectures or whatever. But Abraham is the entity that Esther channels. And she'll channel this energy through meditation. She was saying, like, I think it was an interview with Oprah that she was saying that, oh, God, light in my face. Oh, that's not what she said. That's what I'm experiencing. Don't do that. Please, for the love of God, you're not Snapchatting, are
Heather's
you?
Heather's Snapchatting Christ. Right now. Just oh, God, you
I'm like
now.
Talking about like the deepest of truths in my spiritual teachers.
What do you mean LED
like,
lights
like,
in your eyes don't help?
No, I mean like a very broad, like 10-second clip of me talking about what I'm fucking passionate about is going to be broadcast to people. And I'm like, 10 seconds? Fuck. Why not make it an hour?
Well, listen, I'll link it in there. I'll link it in.
Whatever.
Good Clean Goods podcast.
Good Clean Talks.
Oh, my goodness. Good Clean Talks.
I'm starting a whole Good Clean empire.
Where can we find it?
GoodCleanTalks.com.
Are you going to start calling yourself Mr. Clean?
I'm Good Clean Dolan.
Good Clean Dolan.
Yep.
Mr. Good Clean.
Mr. Good Clean Dolan. I haven't even had any wine.
I'm in my first glass, thank you.
I don't know why you haven't. The box is red.
Because I'm already like this.
Look, it's cheap red wine.
I'm good.
I don't know if you can see it, but
it says cheap red wine on
does.
The label.
Yep.
Wow.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Sweet.
But anyway, going back to Law of Attraction.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested in it because I watched a documentary where they were talking
called
about
the
Law of Attraction, and it's like The Secret, and it's like that old guy, and he's talking about how... Basically, the secret is that
Bob Proctor.
You have to put like positive
have you heard of
things out, and you'll get positive things back in.
Have you heard of Procter & Gamble? Actually, I'm going to look that up because I don't know if that's the same Bob Proctor, but I'm pretty sure he is the Proctor of Procter & Gamble, which is a very like large mega corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was talking about that actually in my office this morning before we all went out to do business to business sales, and. Whenever I first started doing this job, I told myself that I was going to sell a certain amount of spa packages when I went out in the morning. And I believed all day that I could sell that amount of spa packages, and I did every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll say, okay, I'm going to sell 20 today. That's the maximum amount you could sell. And throughout the day, as the day starts going on, I kind of start thinking, oh, maybe I'm not going to sell 20 today.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that whenever I let those thoughts in, it lessens my sales. Today I sold 16.
Right.
I was so close. But if I wouldn't have let those thoughts in and I would have been positive all day
it's
long,
difficult to
I guarantee
out.
You I would have sold 20.
But Bob Proctor is not the Proctor of Procter & Gamble, just to clear that up. I had to look it up. But exactly what you're saying. Like the thoughts you let in dictate everything. Like it's not just thoughts, but thoughts and vibration. And they're the way that they
thoughts create
interact.
Vibration.
Vibration creates thoughts.
Explain.
It's both. It really is both. Like you, repetitive thought. Okay, so to break things down on a psychological level, you got your conscious and your subconscious, and your subconscious believes the things that your conscious tells it repetitively. If you're like, I hate myself. I hate my voice. I hate this. I hate that. Your subconscious is going to be like negative thoughts, negative this, negative speech patterns, negative receptivity to environmental factors.
In which case, don't you think you're giving off a negative vibration?
Yeah, because when your subconscious thinks that, your conscious thinks that. And when you break it down on a vibrational level, which kind of exists on both planes, but when your subconscious thinks that, then you're going to keep thinking and vibration. I mean, the way to break that is to fucking seriously hardcore dedicate your conscious thought into something repetitive, like I am,
like having a mantra.
Affirmations, mantras, exactly. You repeat these things like, I am love, I am light, I am, like, what are mine? I can't even remember mine right now.
One of my favorite ones when I'm going, like when I'm going for something is no room for doubt.
Yeah.
I want to leave no room for doubt that I can get to where I'm going or doing what I'm trying to do.
Do you think those like self-help tapes that you listen to like in your sleep that tells you like positive things, do you think that actually works? Like,
I'm a prime example.
You've done that?
Oh yeah, all the time. I did that last night, the night before, and probably the night before that, but I can't. I don't know. I've done a lot of acid. I can only remember so far. Yeah, no, most definitely. Like, God, I can't even like get into it, but
put that confidence in yourself. Like
the one about like finances and money and shit. Without going too far into it, I learned very quickly the principle of investment versus liability. Like, what I choose to spend money on, like the projects that I want to do. Fuck, I bought a computer. I bought this mixer. I bought that mixer. I bought these four microphones. I bought these four scissor stands. And all the cords that connect everything, and that money, it was no small amount. And the amount that this is going to bring me, shit, it's a fucking investment. You know, it's like the way you look at things, you know, everything changes. Like your entire like point of view, your paradigm shifts into a certain very like focused beam of what you want and what you receive, and then that opens the doors to this attraction. It's like magnetism. Like things just gravitate to me because of my thoughts. And it's not just thoughts, it's also actions. But your actions, like when your thoughts are at a certain level, at a certain feeling, at a certain passion, the actions that you take feel so good to do. And every time I bought something for the podcast or any of my other projects, I really like sat down first and I kind of closed my eyes and I kind of took a deep breath, like, and I'm like, does this feel good? Yeah. Goddamn right it does. Feels fucking awesome. So I did it. And just watch what happens with this. That's all I got to say. And it's something that everybody can do. Like, if you list, like, okay, so the secret is introductory level of law of attraction. It's very basics. It's the very basic principles of law of attraction. But when you listen to teachers like Abraham Hicks or Bob Proctor in depth, Bob Proctor was actually on law of attraction, but if you listen to his teachings in depth, and then you do, like, those motivational things that you're talking about to put in your ears when you're going to sleep, and, like, those self-hypnosis or guided meditations, if you listen to those through like very credible spiritual teachers, even people that are just really good in Reiki, like your aunt is, and just listen to those when you're going to sleep, like people that are credible and people that broadcast things that are very easy for you to find, they're there for a reason. Like the universe is no accident. You're not going to come across something that is fucking shitty to put in your ears. And if you do, you're going to get the feeling when you put it in your ears almost immediately that it's shitty.
Right.
You just gotta base your intuition. Like, you've got this natural, you've got this natural vibration in you, and things either vibe with it or they don't. And just listen
and
to that.
I feel like you really have to open up your crown chakra in order to receive. How am I trying to say this? Well, I'm thinking like a thought and I don't know how to communicate it.
I feel like it's not the crown, at least for me, it's not the crown chakra.
I feel
chakra.
Like it's third eye. Between the third eye and the crown chakra, though. Yeah. Oh, I feel like my third eye helps me see things for what they are, and I feel like my crown chakra helps me see what's good and what's right.
Sometimes it's a matter of opening the heart as well, or the throat, because I honestly, I used to battle with like confidence and anxiety and all this fucking bullshit, but that's all in here and, in my throat and also in my solar plexus, because solar plexus is a huge confidence thing. And it's really a matter of targeting what for you you're lacking in, because every person is different. But for me, it was these two. These two have always been very strong in.
Like, your third eye and your crown
in my chakra. In my crown. Yeah, like ever since I was young, like those have always been. But communicating that, you know, it's very difficult to do because sometimes like the third eye or the crown gets diminished because you can't communicate it properly. So people would like put me down, like, you know, hey, no, that's not, you know, whatever. What the fuck are you trying to say?
And then that affects your solar plexus, yeah, because exactly, you start letting their opinions.
Yeah, you
got
to balance all of them.
Totally, I can relate.
So hypnosis, you think that's like a real thing?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah, because
totally.
It's interesting. Like,
your subconscious is everything.
It's getting in a state of being entranced in a way,
mm-hmm.
and also just emptying your mind and then controlling what you're putting in your mind when it's empty.
I've always been interested in it. I've wanted to kind of
try
hypnosis, but if you guys know Rob Dyrdek, like the guy who came up as a skateboarder and like had a show on MTV.
He's so funny.
He says that he owes all of his success he was actually like hypnotized for success before he was famous. And he says that he like owes everything he's done to that.
The cool thing is today we have headphones and YouTube and anybody.
One of my nail clients, she actually goes to a therapist who hypnotizes her, mm-hmm. and she told me that she reveals things about her past lives.
Yeah, I've
and
done
I'm not going to share anything that she said, but it's intense and it's crazy.
I would love to do that.
And as soon as she told me all the things that she discovered about herself, I could immediately see it in her.
That's insane. I definitely would do something like that. That's so interesting.
Like, I'll try to find out who it is.
Last time I did a past life hypnosis, I don't know how accurate it was or not because I was working at Disney. I hated my job and I felt like it was killing me. But doing this, past life hypnosis, I felt like I was born in like Switzerland or someplace in that general area in Europe. Moved to America and started, hang on a second. Sorry, I had a pass a beverage to my friend Ryan there.
And I had to cough.
The beer struggles.
Yeah, shit happens.
Anyways, hypnosis.
So,
you were working.
I felt like in a past life, I was in like Switzerland or some shit. I lived in a cabin and like I was wearing a certain type of boots. And like I remember seeing these things. And that didn't last very long because I moved to America. And so working at like a car factory or some shit, like slaving away, like my whole life was just cars, 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 building cars, selling cars, doing cars, shit, you know, and this is back like 20s or 30s or some shit. And then I felt like when I was meditating, I saw myself in a car driving and then fiery car crash and I died. Like the work that I did my entire life, cars. My entire life was cars, and then I died in a car crash. That's just what I remember from my past life. I don't know if that's true or not. Like I was really fucking high and I was meditating, and I don't know what influence marijuana has on meditation.
I think marijuana just helps you dive into the depths of your soul.
I think it can obscure things.
I feel like marijuana helps me see things for what they truly are.
You look at things a different way.
Yeah, it's a different way. That's all it is different. I feel like it can be helpful or it can be hindering. I don't partake in smoking weed too much anymore. I used to, like, all day, every day. And then after a certain point, I just got sick of it. So I stopped doing it because it stopped being beneficial to me. And I'm like, because I feel like it's a medicine. And if you need it, you're going to do it. If you don't need it anymore, you're going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, it started giving me anxiety and depression. And I'm like, well, this is the things that I'm trying to avoid by smoking it. So I might as well not smoke it.
Right.
I want to hear about the isolation tank that you did.
Okay. Well, that's cool because it's on the same kind of wavelength. Isolation tank is really, really, it's something out of this world. What it is you're in a pod, probably like 7 or 8 feet by like 4 or 5 feet. And there's water in it, but this water has about 800 to 1,000 pounds of Epsom salts in it. And what that does is it makes you float. And it's still water consistency. The waves are still pretty much just like the same as making waves in water. It's not like a gelatin, but it's straight up fucking water with different, you know, minerals in it.
Is there more than Epsom salt in it, or is it
Epsom salt, magnesium? It's just different things. Like I don't know the exact chemical makeup of it. But
wait, where do you do this?
There's a place in Claremont in Central Florida. They have the cheapest cheapest prices in the world, as far as I know. What they were telling me, I don't know how accurate that is, but $45 for an hour is the lowest that I've seen anywhere. Because I was looking up different places in Florida. I was thinking about traveling out to like Melbourne, which is far away from where we live. And
they have some in Winter Park too, though, don't they? I think they have one in College Park, but I don't know if they're the same exact
but
you're, thing.
You're the one that sent me that link fucking forever ago, and I'm thankful for that because I went there and I did an hour float in like the first. Well, he was telling me when you get in the float tank, you're gonna have the urge probably to like roll your shoulders and move your arms and shit. And that's just working out the kinks in your back and like moving your spine and your vertebrae and shit and just kind of coming into alignment. And like the first, I want to say it was like 45 minutes, but time is a very funny thing when you're in the tank. I was very restless and I was moving around and shit. And then finally, like I just settled. Like there was this kink in my neck I couldn't get out, but I settled. I just grew content with the pain and like let whatever happened happen. And I'm laying there and like all my chakras open and it's just this amazing blissful thing. And I went out of there with like this overwhelming feeling of peace. But the second time I did it, I went to the chiropractor first, because I go to the chiropractor once a month, and I got an adjustment, and then they had, it was like patient appreciation day, so they were giving free massages, so I got like a free table massage, or a free chair massage. And then from there, I went straight to the float tank, and almost immediately, I was just like completely bliss. Like, I just relaxed as soon as I started floating. And then I remember this point where, like, my thoughts became so separated and so far apart that I was thinking, you know, maybe, like, 50 things at a time. But it was just so separate that I wasn't thinking anything, but at the same time I was thinking everything. You alright, Heather?
There's a bug in my drink. not just a little bug, it's a very large bug in my drink.
Was it just
in
your mouth?
And I took a drink of it, and I didn't notice until it was in my mouth. So now I'm done drinking for the rest of the night.
I've got a
raspberry
kombucha beer, if you...
I do. A bug can't fit in there. Oh my god, look, it's gigantic.
I'm going to pass
it. I
want
to see it.
See it.
It's like a brooch or something. It's fucking huge.
Probably a palmetto bug or something.
Ew, I think you had a palmetto bug in your mouth.
I mean, I didn't put the bug in my mouth. I just saw it as I was drinking.
I thought the bug was in your mouth.
Dude, that's a big ass bug. It's
huge. Oh my god. It's like an inch long. It has wings.
It's like an inch and a half.
Palmetto bug.
It's fucking huge.
Florida.
Maybe we should pour it out.
Maybe.
It probably is feeling really good right now since it's chilling in a glass of red wine.
That's probably insane. Dead.
I put that in my mouth.
More alcohol than it's ever had in its entire life. It doesn't even know what alcohol is. It's just like,
Sorry, that was alarming. It was like a movie where you look down and there's just a bug and you're like, holy shit, what do I do right now? I didn't want to spray it all over the microphone, but
I'm glad I saw what was going on with you. I'm like trying to talk through it, thinking that it would stop, but you kept making that face, and I'm like, what's going on? What's going on over there? One of the things that I want to do with this podcast is get a couple of cameras set up and actually make it a video podcast, and which is why I love the fact that you're here, Ryan, is that you can help out with video editing and stuff. I was looking at different like switchers and like video interface devices and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to operate any of them. Like, I barely know how to operate my audio interfaces. You know, it's kind of crazy, but you know, shit. But isolation tank. So I'm in there and like my thoughts are really, really separating, and this happened like almost immediately, but. When I was in the chiropractor earlier in the day, I found out that I have a bulging disc in my C7 and a herniated disc in my C6 vertebrae, which is in the neck. So the chiropractor was like, you're going to be in pain more or less for the rest of your life. So I'm fucking going to the chiropractor.
That's terrible.
And I know that I'm going to be in pain for the rest of my life. This is just on my mind.
I don't think that that's true. I think that might be just something that a doctor wants to tell you.
They want you to keep coming back.
Yeah.
doing.
He's like, no, this is going to suck forever, so you're going to have to keep coming back here.
I've never been to a chiropractor ever.
I want to go.
It's really great therapy. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Allison's saying that it's awesome and she loves it. But she's not on the microphone.
You can't hear her
so.
At the moment.
I knew someone that had one of those spinal alignment things.
I can't
things.
Hear because the headphones, like if you're not in the microphone, if you're talking to me, like these things are so sound canceling that I cannot, like, I don't know. What were you saying?
I was saying that I I just constantly live in my own little world.
Don't we all?
I dumped the glass of red wine on the sidewalk to see if the bug was alive, but the bug was dead. And then once I looked down, I had to clean off the red wine. Oh,
that's cool. I'm sorry that he died.
You just went in my house and like found where the cups were and filled it up with water.
No, I asked your mom.
Okay, cool.
I don't know why this came into my head when we started talking about the bug, but going back to like chakras and all that, is that just a human thing, or do you think all living creatures have this?
Yeah, my dog has different chakras because I've like petted him and like massaged him, and because I'm very like in tune, like I can almost see auras, but I can't describe the color. It's something that's almost different than the human spectrum of interpretation. Like I sense it on a different level than eyesight, but I interpret it through sight. If that makes any sense. But, yeah. Like, my dog, I've been petting him, and I can, like, tell because, like, I'll massage between his eyes, or, like, right above the spot where his eyes meet, and then, like, his neck and his throat and, like, the top of his head and shit and, like, his chest and then, like, his back where the chest, like, you know, where they should meet. And, like, every, like, I know my dog's got chakras, you know? It's not just strictly a human thing, but it's crazy because dogs have kind of selectively evolved with us. So who knows if that's a human thing that we've influenced in them?
That's true. Dogs probably a bad example.
I think that's an issue that people have is going back to the vegetarian thing. I do think that animals feel and animals have things like that, and that's why I choose not to participate.
I think a lot of people choose not to recognize energy, mm-hmm. and I'm a moon in Pisces, so I almost notice someone's energy before I remember their name or anything like that. But I feel like a lot of people think of animals as just a thing rather than a being.
Yeah, I think that too. But if you really think about it, animals have personalities and they...
Totally.
You know, and even animals in the wild, that's why they take care of their young and they are affectionate toward their young because they have feelings. And I think that a lot of people don't want to admit that, but I feel like that's just as much fact as anything else.
I don't believe that. Some animals eat their young.
Well, they do, but...
Because that instincts are also a factor.
Yeah, instincts. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that they don't have feelings and that they don't have emotions.
A being is a balance of emotions and instincts.
I think a being is a balance of vibration and physical world, which is also vibration, but it's a different part of the spectrum of vibration. Like,
do you mean like physical vibration? Like
everything is vibration. Like it.
I'm trying to wrap my head around what you mean by vibration.
Just momentarily, if you can, erase physical vibration, spiritual vibration, emotional vibration, thought vibration. Erase all of that and just, it is all vibration. And just like there are colors that you can't perceive, there are vibrations that you can't perceive in colors. Light, vibration, sound, vibration. They're all different. Vibration.
Well, sound is literally vibration, though.
I can tell by your facial expression that you're trying to logically make sense of it, and there really is no logic to it.
I have a very logical way of looking at it.
But it takes listening to logical explanations of it in order to kind of be able to release yourself of that logical, like, okay, so everything, there's a comedian that I absolutely love, who's one of my heroes. His name is Bill Hicks.
He's a man.
Yeah, you know Bill Hicks. Yeah. And he was one of my favorite songs by Tool, Third Eye. He's at the beginning of it. And he's got this the skit that goes, you know, you always hear the same stories on the news about drug people. Like, today a young man on acid jumped off a building thinking he could fly and died. But you don't hear the good stories about acid. Just once, I want to hear a good story about acid.
The news doesn't report good stories.
Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that there's no such thing as death. We are all one consciousness experiencing self-subjectively.
Pause for 1 second. Close your eyes while he's saying this. I know you're going to feel silly closing your eyes.
I'm going to try to start over and do this the best that I can. You don't see ducks. All right. So today, young man on acid jumps off a building, kills himself. Well, one less dumbass in the world. Like, seriously, one retard jumps off a building, fucking whatever. That's selective not nice. Evolution. That's fucking great. You don't hear ducks lining up to take an elevator to the top of the building to jump off and fly north for the winter. If you want to fucking fly, jump off the fucking ground. Seriously, come on. Well,
what I was thinking is I'm sure you have heard positive news about people taking acid, but you just haven't heard it from the mainstream media.
No,
like
definitely.
You've heard it from your peers.
Yeah, I definitely have. But let me continue with the Bill Hicks sketch. He says that he wants to hear today, just like once. I want to hear today a young man on acid realizes that we are all matter. Nearly energy. We are all matter experiencing itself subjectively. That there is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather.
Like, wait, Bill Hicks said that?
Yeah, it's at the beginning of a Tool song, Third Eye. It's fucking amazing. Mm.
Like,
I can't even.
But like I said, the mainstream media doesn't report good news. That's not what people want to hear.
No, it's not because
they're in the business of making
fixated.
Money, not telling the truth.
Especially
people
because
get fixated on negativity.
They do. And like
especially if it's drug related, they want you to think that it's bad, so they're not gonna report good news on something that they're trying to suppress.
They report
like
whatever gets viewers. That's
I
all
hate
they
to
care
mention
about.
I hate to mention my favorite band, Tool, like twice within like a minute. But they've got this other song Vicarious, which he says that, you know, whatever flavor it happens to be, we all feed on tragedy. Like, we all want to see that, you know, whether it's, like, somebody killing their son or, you know, killed with poison or drowned in the ocean or whatever it is. We all want to see that. We've all
that
got
like
this craving.
I don't think
so.
For some reason.
I don't think so.
No, it's very human thing. And it's,
but I don't
it's,
have
it's,
that.
I'd beg to differ. I think you do on some level. And some people are really good at kind of separating that, and it's different because
it's not that I'm separating
world.
It. It's just that that's not who I am. And like seeing stuff
that.
Like that, I can't even watch movies where people are getting like hurt. And I used to be able to, but now that I'm more in touch with myself,
you're an
and
empath.
Yeah. I feel what other people are feeling.
So I like what you said about how like you don't even like to kill like a spider because
I would rather
there's
just
a lot
save
of people
it in a
who are like outside. Against animal cruelty, but then they're like, oh, look, a bug. Smash it. Like, that's an animal just as equal as any other animal.
Speaking of which, I was going to bury that roach that died, and I'm going to go do that because it's just sitting on the sidewalk.
I thought the water like washed it away.
Give him a proper burial.
No, I guess it didn't.
Give him a nice funeral.
You need something to what?
He died of alcoholism, we don't need to mention that.
We should say a few words.
Yeah, go for it. You'll have to excuse me. I've got gas in my stomach.
Let it out.
I feel bad for that bug. He had no idea what he was getting into. I hope he at
least was drunk for a little bit.
He got so drunk that he died.
Yeah. He must have been. It's like, oh, I love this. It's crazy what alcohol can do, because you can drink so much that you die.
I'm sure bugs can get drunk.
His body was so tiny.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
like, do you think that their brain...
Well, I hope you enjoyed it, because it was...
Well, there's a certain amount of sugar in alcohol, and bugs do love that. I remember when I was a kid camping, my dad had, like, an open beer, and there was, like, these bees and shit, and the bees just ignored us and went straight for the beer. Like, nectar, sugar.
Like, isn't alcohol the result of yeast eating sugar? And it's like a byproduct of that?
Something like that, yeah.
That's what fermentation is like... It's yeast, and they eat the sugars, and like...
Not all alcohol, though, because they do have vegan beer, which does not include yeast.
Oh. Yeah. Is that true?
That's another strange thing about...
It is true, because vegans don't... Because
we were just...
They don't consume yeast.
Because we were just drinking organic...
Because it's living.
Yeast is alive.
Yeah, but so is...
I don't know.
So is celery.
That's what I was going to say is...
That's why they don't eat regular bread. They have to eat flatbread. That's
yeast
really
is like a bacteria. You have bacteria in your mouth. Every time you swallow, you're eating living things. Like,
yeah,
to
like
not eat
spinach,
yeast is ridiculous.
Kale,
that's out of your control if you're swallowing bacteria that's already in your mouth. But if you're choosing to eat yeast or you know, something that was made with yeast, that's a choice that you're making. I'm not saying that it's not ridiculous. I think it's a little silly, but I mean,
okay. All right,
you know.
As long as you think it's silly, then I don't have to call you out on being silly.
Yeah, no. I mean, I drink alcohol and I eat bread and I'm...
Fucking
you know,
vegans.
Though, someone was telling me the other day about... They were vegan and they were trying to get me to subscribe to this text recipe thing where they were going to text me vegan recipes. And I asked them, why be vegan? And they said that dairy cows they told me the conditions that dairy cows.
It's terrible. It's
like basically terrible. They hook them up to these machines and they just free range, suck the milk out of these cows until there's like pus and blood coming out of them.
Organic milk, grass-fed
That's
cows.
That's how,
you can get around that.
I mean, you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of those terms are loosely
yeah,
used.
No, it's bullshit. Yeah, as humans, exactly. We torture everything around us. Look at us. We build houses. We destroy ant colonies. We destroy bear habitats. We fucking destroy everything. We're fucking assholes.
The idea of milk in itself is just weird to me because we're drinking another animal's lactation that was never even made for us.
Yeah.
And the fact that the process...
Weird. You know what else? You know what else humans do that other animals don't?
What?
Fly in airplanes.
We also
live in houses.
Cook our meat.
Talk on phones to call each other and tell each other how fucking awesome milk is.
Don't you think it's weird that
I love milk.
That's a Joe Rogan quote.
Don't you think it's weird that we thought of milking this animal and taking another animal's lactation for
isn't
our
it weird
own
that we
consuming?
Fly through the air to get from point A to point B?
I really want to know who the first person was who looked at a cow's udder and was like, I want to squeeze that.
I'm gonna drink that.
And I'm going to drink what comes out of it.
Especially because what they had was totally different
than
what
we had.
It's
more people like life or death situation. Like I have this goat and there's some stuff I can squeeze
kill
out
him
of it.
Or I can keep drinking this for nutrients.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, yeah, that would be the more ethical way to do it if that was your only choice, but that's not what we do now. And like she said...
Yeah,
like,
so fuck cheese. Stop eating pizza. And
the situations no. that they are in
just
when...
don't eat or drink mass-produced milk. Like, if it's...
But it's all mass-produced milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
If
it
you
really
can somehow
is.
Get your hands on, like, some milk from, like, a fresh hand...
That's why
how about this?
Like, could you be against that?
I propose that just do what makes you feel good. And if you drink milk and get a stomach ache, stop drinking fucking milk. But if you drink milk and you're fine, and you love fucking cheese and you like pizza and pasta with Parmesan and all that good shit, fucking keep doing it. Jesus Christ.
But don't you think ignoring the problems is what's allowing the problems to persist? Like the way that we eat meat, a lot of people realize that animals live in poor conditions, but they keep eating meat because a lot of people will say, oh, I'm a carnivore. Like, you're not a fucking carnivore. You just like steak. But
you're an omnivore. Right. You still eat vegetables, I'm pretty sure.
Right? But why can't we come up with a solution to that? Why can't we move forward? Why are we waiting for someone else to move forward for us when we could be the ones coming up with a solution to the problem?
Places like Chipotle are, you know, they're a very common fast food restaurant that is part of the solution. They're doing non-GMOs and they're doing grass-fed this and that. Mm-hmm.
There is ways around
free
it.
And
it's just not that easy and it's definitely more expensive.
No, it's a process
and I'm not,
that we're on the path of.
What we said
it's
about
happening.
A milk thing, I'm not against drinking milk. I mean, I love cheese and milk is fine. I just think that the process that we use to get it is weird and we did that because of the mass production that we're trying to achieve, and that just goes back to profit. All they want is money, and they don't care about the conditions of the cows. And
exactly.
It really is disgusting. If you saw what went into that jug of milk that you're drinking, you probably wouldn't drink it. But mm-hmm. It's just the fact that we, you know, we turn our heads and we don't care because what we see in the stores.
Because we like cheese. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, cheese is
such a part of
not.
Our culture. Like,
I don't,
chicken wings and burgers is, like, such ingrained into our culture that it's...
I don't really drink milk, but a lot of things are, like, fried and milk battered, and there's cheese
milk everything.
Everywhere. Exactly.
Right. I feel like
really
everything I love to eat has cheese on it.
Yeah.
Cheese is delicious.
Yeah. I love some cheese.
But if you saw what you went through to get to that cheese, you might not love it as much. That's why, I mean, I considered going vegan, but really, it really is hard because everything that you love is just like being ripped away from you, and you're just like, I can't do it.
And I just feel like, I mean, I can't speak from personal experience, but I feel like it just can't be healthy.
I mean, I think if you do it right, it could be healthy.
There is a limit. Like, us as humans, we are meant to kill. We are meant to exploit. We are meant to take.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't agree with that either.
Well, I'm not saying that we can't kill ethically, we can't take ethically, and we can't produce things ethically.
What do you mean when you say exploit?
I think that that's a man-made idea.
Taking cows and putting them in cages to fucking take their milk, it's just evolved that. I think what it started from is like, hey, this fucking, this female bison produces this the shit from its glands that we can drink, and it doesn't make us sick. So why not take it, because we don't have to refrigerate it. We can keep it forever. Why not take this bison and put it into a cage and breed it with other docile bison until it becomes something that we can make live with us in
Save
unity.
So
and then places like fucking TG Lee will take these cows and fucking put them in a very small, confined environment, which is terrible. And really, really, really fucking exploit them. Like, we're meant, okay, so.
See, but that's the issue. But you say we're made to exploit. Do you
Dogs.
Think?
Okay.
Listen.
Exploit
listen,
is a bad me, word. Okay. Me, sorry.
Do you think we're made to exploit? Or do you think,
I think
we've learned to be desensitized to exploiting animals?
That's what I think.
I think we're meant to change our environment. And exploit is a word that is kind of an extreme, which I wish I could retract, but I can't really. I think we're meant to change our environment. Like, you know, cows. We made cows from bison. But dogs aren't natural either, are they?
They
evolved with us. And we took these cows and we removed them from predators. And we were like, hey, yo, live with us and we'll just milk you so you're not fucking like dying from a retention of milk and you're not having
But see, that's not the case
shit,
anymore.
You get all uncomfortable and shit. We're just going to kind of relieve you of that. But it's not the case anymore.
Because
you're right.
Exactly.
There is an
that.
Ethical way of doing
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
I think that, I don't think that using animals for their byproducts is necessarily a bad thing, but the way that we go about it now is all wrong.
Yeah, treat
the And
the
fact that they have to,
right.
they have to
too.
Artificially inseminate and keep these cows thinking that they're pregnant forever just to keep, you know, producing lactation for us, that's ridiculous. Like, if we did it the right way, then maybe it wouldn't be
but
so bad.
But no one's gonna buy like a $35 gallon of milk, and that's how much it's gonna cost if we treat these animals good.
No,
I don't
that's
think
how much
so.
It costs
I
because
think...
there's a cheaper way of doing it. If we eliminate the immoral way of doing it, then the prices will kind of change a little bit. Like, our economy is based upon how things are now.
But that would require a lot of moving.
That's what our generation is doing.
The underlying issue of everything that we're talking about is a lack of care. A lack of care.
A lack of ethics and morals, which is what I said in the last podcast.
A lack of care for what's happening. People would rather just not care than...
Yeah, you can blame it on the company, but people still continue to buy their shit, and that's the only thing that keeps them alive.
Exactly.
It's an easy way to make profit. Easy way.
I agree 100%. Like, mega corporations only exist because people buy
We
their
stop
products.
Buying their shit, they're gone.
They
like,
die.
Exactly.
Well, that's what the whole thing we behind, made. The whole thing behind not eating meat is. Everyone says, oh, if you just don't eat meat, then they'll stop doing it, which I know personally that is, like, really far-fetched because, you know, getting everyone to stop eating
that's
meat
like,
is crazy, but...
That's like in school how they tell people to not transmit STDs is just to be abstinent.
But no one wants
that
to do
doesn't
that.
Work. That's not effective.
No one
That's
wants
not
to do that.
An effective way of doing things. You can't be like, yeah, stop eating meat and you'll stop fucking shit up. No, there's a proper ethical way of doing things.
Well, that's why the grass-fed and the natural meat and everything is making an appearance, but people aren't buying into it because it costs more
and people are
lazy.
No, people
I mean, some people are, but you have to realize that just because of our generation and the peers that you are surrounded with doesn't mean that those people in...
What's becoming apparent, though, is that the people that are buying the natural meat, the grass-fed meat, their energy levels and their minds and the way that they think, it's becoming more fluent and more productive, and they can make more money in order to buy that shit. Like, it's literally an investment. Like, okay, so you can invest or you can have liabilities. And when you invest in yourself and put good things in yourself, good things come out, and you're able to make more money and able to pay for those things. And that's really important that some people don't get, because they're like, yeah, it's cheaper just to go to McDonald's and not...
But getting people to believe that is the issue.
Which is why I have a podcast.
But I also think, like with what you were saying earlier about how people think that, oh, if I stop eating meat, it's going to make a difference. And then some people think, oh, well, if I stop eating meat, it's not going to make any of a difference. Maybe the issue is not whether or not we're eating the meat. Maybe the issue should be
how we're treating it.
Because, I don't think that even... vegans really have a problem with eating meat. It's just the way that the animals are treated to retrieve the meat.
Yeah.
But are they doing anything about it, or are they just not eating it?
Yeah, by
just
not eating meat, you're not expecting anything to change. You're just not contributing your efforts into that.
So you're just not caring.
You're
caring without acting.
On that note, Ryan, like I was saying earlier about everything being energetic, the animals have a certain energy to them. The meat that you eat, the food that you eat, has an energy to it. And if you're eating the meat of a miserable animal, you're putting miserable vibrations into you. But if you're eating the meat of a happy animal,
happy cows,
you're putting really, really good energy into yourself.
A commercial. Happy cows make happy cheese. I'm just saying.
Happy cows make happy hamburgers. Happy steaks. Ugh, my mouth is watering.
That makes me sad.
They're all happy and then they're just dead.
I mean, they're happy up until the buckshot hits the back of their brain.
Oh, stop.
Like, one thing interesting I was thinking about is how people, like, love dogs and everything, but the only reason dogs exist is because we, like, put two dogs in a cage and, like, force them to reproduce with each other.
No, that's not exactly it. That's a misinterpretation.
They've evolved a lot with us.
Yeah, dogs.
But we chose that.
It's not that. It's the wolves with the cuter qualities, with the puppy dog eyes, the ones that looked at you and just made you like, oh, I'm gonna throw my fucking piece of bison meat, you know? Because humans, we eat meat.
I just want to clarify. I thought a bison was a buffalo.
Yeah. Cows are descendant of.
Are they?
Yeah.
Not all humans eat meat.
Today. But, I mean, historically speaking, I mean, we're hunters and gatherers, and there are civilizations that have done both. We're omnivores, we're fucking versatile, we're amazing creatures. But dogs, the ones that had, like, the cuter look, that were most sociable to people, are the ones that got fed, and the ones that reproduced because they spent their time around humans, and they spent their time around other dogs that were sociable enough to be around humans.
They learned how to survive with us.
Yeah, so they kept evolving, and over time, the ones with the puppy dog eyes and the cuter looks and the cool patterns on their fur and their coat.
Well, it wasn't all looks.
How did my Maltese evolve from a wolf? What? I mean, obviously, she didn't evolve from a wolf, but, like, how did we get, like, small breed dogs?
Oh, that happened over a really, 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 really long amount of time.
It's crazy, yeah. It's just breeding and breeding, like, different breeds with different...
What's crazy is that thoroughbred dogs are the least healthiest.
Yeah. It's because, basically, it's like the concept of inbreeding.
Yeah, it's incest, yeah. That's why you should not buy from puppy mills, and you should buy from a shelter, just saying.
And don't eat at KFC.
Throwing out there. Don't eat meat and buy from the shelter. Just saying.
Adopt from the shelter.
Adopt. There
it's all just like eat grass and sit in a circle and hold hands and sing kumbaya.
Exactly. With our dogs and our vegetarian food. Oh my goodness.
Humans are amazing. We're so versatile. There's people of all different colors of meat, you know, like light meat, dark meat, tough meat, tender meat.
I don't know. I can't reject tough like meat. Eating meat just
I wonder
because...
what it would be like to eat a human.
Let's not talk about that.
Wow. I feel like it would probably be good. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah,
what?
Right? Miss Vegetarian.
Okay, I'm tapping
over there.
Out.
We need to get a cannibal on the show to get his take
think
on this.
About it because.
Okay, so you're
a lot
vegetarian.
Of people are active and it would be lean meat. Think about it.
Yeah, but think about all the shit we eat. Come on.
Okay, well,
yeah.
You gotta pick and choose. You don't eat a shitty, you know, 400-pound man right, that lives on McDonald's.
So you don't want to eat a tortured cow, but you're okay with killing a person and eating their flesh.
I'm not condoning eating humans, I'm just
She's
saying.
Just talking about what it would be like.
Yeah, I mean, hypothetically, you know.
It would be what kind of
too.
Person you
yeah.
ate.
It's something to wonder about.
You have to
like
the right
you,
kind of people.
If you ate a yoga instructor...
Yeah, right?
Versus,
oh my god,
like,
yoga instructor
the person
prime
who sells
choice.
Tickets at Disney Ugh. World. That's gonna be.
Yeah, I would take the yoga instructor.
If it was
I
like
mean, to,
a,
to like eat, like for nourishment.
A personal trainer versus a 300 pound guy, I don't know.
The key to success is eat somebody successful.
Exactly. It's what you surround yourself and put inside of you.
That law of attraction, though.
Yeah.
Just you have to right eat Rob people. Dyrdek.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
That's our key to success.
Don't look in any of our freezers.
Eat the right people. Oh my god. This took a terrible turn. Let's get back on the path.
Good clean goods, ladies and gentlemen. Buy my soap. I make awesome natural vegan soap with no human parts. I'm not like Fight Club. I'm not using rendered human fat or animal fat. Just vegetable fat. Buy my soap. I got lavender soap, which is wonderful. It's great. Buy it.
So, I will buy
about that local sports team.
How much is it?
$5 a bar.
Nice. How long does a bar last?
A long time.
It really depends. Like, I've got this soap tray that's, like, completely solid. There's no grooves to drain water. So, like, you wash your hands and you set it down on the soap tray. Like, the water that's on the bar kind of clicks towards the bottom and melts it a little quicker. But also, in my shower, I've got this wire rack that I put my bars on. So, like, my hand soap goes quicker than the soap that I have in my shower because the shower, like, drains the water and it doesn't diminish as quickly.
But so it's better to store it somewhere where the water
drains. On a rack.
The water drains.
Cool. On a rack, yeah.
I had
it'll
mine.
Last forever, like months.
Oh, yeah, cool. I had mine for probably a month or more when I put it on the wire rack where it was just draining off.
I want to start selling racks on my website because I sell to friends and they're like, dude, I love your soap, but it goes so quick. And I'm like, how the fuck are you storing it? Like, what the hell are you doing to this soap?
Mine
shit.
Definitely lasted a long time. Like, that's crazy.
I feel like you could probably make some cool soap racks with, like, wire wrapping techniques.
Yeah, I was thinking about soap on, like, a bar so you could, like, reach your back and then, like, hang it from your, like, shower head.
Oh, that would
then,
be cool.
Yeah.
Soap on a stick instead of soap on a rope.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, like, can you reach every spot on your back? I can, but I don't like to.
You know, yeah.
That's a good that's gonna be the slogan for soap.
I can, but I don't like to.
I wonder if your soap would be good for me. I have, like, sensitive skin.
It is.
I can't use certain soap.
Yeah, definitely do it.
Like,
yeah.
I can't use...
Buy my soap and tell me what you think.
You should make laundry detergent, dude.
I
you need to make shampoo is what you need to make.
Because
make all the things right now.
I have I have to buy special laundry detergent because certain
month,
laundry detergent makes me break out.
Yeah, no, definitely lye soap when okay, so there's only one difference between laundry soap and skin soap is the super fat ratio. There is a very specific ratio with your very specific oil content, because you can have 5 different oils, but all these oils have different saponification values. So if you're mixing 5 different oils, you have a very, very, very specific ratio of lye that you have to mix with water in order to mix with the oils to make it turn to soap.
What is lye, by the way?
Sodium hydroxide. It's like ash, potassium ashes that is burnt wood, and it turns to a certain thing, and it processes a certain way.
So do they use, like, burnt wood to make, like, soap back in the day?
Well,
that what they did? Like,
nobody really knows where soap originated at, but it's said that in like, Egypt, I think it was the Nile, they would do human sacrifices upriver, and what it would be is that the ash from the wood that they would use to burn the people would combine with the fat that dripped from the people and seep into the soil and then wash into the Nile River, and then it would go downriver, and then the women that would wash the linens downriver would notice that the clothes became cleaner during the time of human sacrifices.
No way.
Yeah, that's what's said. That's what's said to be. That's what the legend is of soap. But we don't know for sure how it was created.
I think a lot of people don't realize that things like soap and toothpaste are relatively new ideas, because toothpaste wasn't even used until like probably the early 1900s, maybe late 1800s.
I'm glad we live in a day and age where toothpaste is a thing.
We can brush our teeth. Yeah, but I actually just learned about this with my dental school, where they were talking about how for a lot of time, like, people would just pick their teeth with things, and like, they had no idea.
That's what I don't get about dentists. We're like, oh, I gotta brush your teeth 3-4 times a day. It's like, well, what did people do before
toothbrushes? Be sure to wash your mouth, your teeth, and your brain with that fluoride.
Yeah, like,
take
people seem to survive before dentists were around, so.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure they had a lot of tooth pain, a lot of cavities,
also
they didn't eat sugar like we do.
Yeah, we eat a lot of weird shit today, so.
Yeah,
didn't presidents used to wear wooden teeth?
Like the wood
teeth?
Yeah, that's a real thing, I think.
I think so.
I'm so glad
that's not a thing anymore.
George Washington? Yeah.
That's terrible.
How?
It would expand with your saliva. Like,
that's
the wood
insane.
Would just swell up a little bit.
It would be really
it would
dirty.
Get splinters
in your mouth. You know that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Wood doesn't
like...
get clean. You're not even supposed to, like, cook with, like, wood cutting boards or
Imagine,
wood utensils
like,
anymore.
The taste
because,
of your...
Yeah, because food and bacteria, like, sink into there and they
into
don't...
It, yeah.
they
imagine
I heard bamboo was more...
Imagine the.
I'm not sure about that. I just know that they said that you're not, especially when you're cutting meat, you're not supposed to use a wood cutting board because it soaks in and you can't get the bacteria out of the wood.
Imagine the taste of your palate if you had wooden teeth.
Ooh.
It's like if you have metal fillings, you've got like this constant metal taste, but like imagine wood, like you just tastes like earth.
I think the shit that we put in our mouth in general is just insane. We put gold and fluoride.
Heavy metals.
I have a permanent retainer behind my bottom teeth, and it's so annoying. It's just like this bar behind my teeth. And now that you said when you have metal fillings, it tastes like metal, now I taste the metal in my mouth.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I want one of those because my teeth are getting crooked.
No, don't do it.
I'm not even mad. I would want one.
Don't. Stuff gets stuck in it. It's not fun. That was too much information.
I mean, it's vital information.
I've got a broken tooth, and it's more broken now. To where I don't get food stuck in it.
You need to get that fixed because you can really get some serious infections going on in your mouth.
When I
you're too young for that.
When I used to do acid, like my tooth wasn't as broken as it is now, and like I'd have this piece of blotter paper in my mouth, and then like before I knew it, alcohol had me like slurring words and shit. Before I knew it. Like, the piece of paper would get stuck in the middle of my broken tooth. And I'd be like, the fuck? Like, where'd my acid go? And then, like, because I'd have, like, you know, 4 or 5 hits at a time because I went hard.
It's terrible.
And after a minute, like, the hits would separate. And, like, one would get stuck on my tooth. And then, like, a couple hours later, it would, like, come out. And I'm like, oh, shit, here's another hit of acid. Whoa.
It was like slow release.
Yeah.
Time release, natural.
Those thick capsules, yo, called fucking teeth. Broken teeth. Yeah, shit was insane. I've done a lot of acid. Like, I was talking to my dad today, and he's like, remember that time when? And I'm like, no.
That what?
That time when whatever would follow. And I'm like, Dad, I...
Does that have a pretty bad effect on your memory, I'm guessing?
Not exactly. It's really easy to say, like, no, I don't remember. I've done a lot of acid. But it's more like I've done a lot of acid, so I realize that the most important things are what's surrounding me in this moment. So I could, like, sit down, close my eyes, and, like, really, really fucking strain my brain and remember shit, but I don't really want to. I don't want to go there.
That's weird, because when I did mushrooms, I think it made me recall some memories that I don't think that I would have remembered otherwise.
It's insane.
I had a phase where I was rolling probably 3 times a week at least for a period of about 4 months on Molly.
That's not good for you.
Was it real MDMA or was it like BK MDMA?
I don't know. It wasn't pure. I can tell you that.
The shit that floats around is BK MDMA, which is methylone.
That's what it
was. Basically fucking meth.
Yeah, I know. Which I later discovered. I didn't know that while I was doing it. But I was getting it for free, by the way. I did not spend that much money on drugs.
Yeah.
But
who buys drugs?
I don't know.
But anyways,
who pays money for drugs?
After all that, I couldn't
People
remember.
Penises.
Yeah.
After all of that, I couldn't remember everything that happened during that 4 month period.
I know how it is.
And I was trying to remember everything that happened before, and I couldn't recall memories. Mm-hmm. And it's just now, it's been a year since I rolled.
And you're starting to remember shit?
And now I remember stuff that happened, like, when I was a kid, or when I hung out with my friends when I was, like, 16. Stuff like that, I'm just
Molly
now starting to
Molly did that to me,
remember.
Too, though. There would be times where if you roll really hard, like, I can't remember.
I wouldn't be able to finish sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
I get that way with
peace
other
and
drugs
love, man.
Too, though. I get that way with, even weed if I smoke too much. I will, like, literally forget everything that I was just talking about, what I was just thinking about. I'm in the middle of a sentence and then it just goes and I'm like, what?
Do you know, I read earlier this week that also has something to do with being grounded and how grounded you are. That has to do with your root chakra.
I need to look into something like that because seriously, it's really bad. It happens all the time. I'll just completely blank out and I'm like, what the hell was I just saying?
Marijuana has definitely had an effect on my memory. That's for sure.
I was thinking earlier today about this. Do any of y'all know what it's like to be in a straight up true acid binge?
No, but I think you do.
Oh, I most definitely do. Things get weird. Like, the last acid binge, that I went on wasn't exactly intentional. I just had a 10 strip and like my friends kept coming over because I didn't have school or work or anything. I'm just like, hey, yeah, come over. Let's drink some beers. And they would come over and we start drinking. I'd be like, oh, by the way, I have this 10 strip. And I did acid like fucking twice a week for like 2 weeks. And I want to say I did it like 5 or 6 times. So it might have been like 3 weeks. I don't know.
This is insane. For people who don't know about acid, this shit lasts a long time. It's not like a, okay, 2 hours and you're done. This is like a several hour
experience. It's about 8 to 10 hours. But I was doing it so frequently that like my mind got used to certain shit. my friend Chronic was staying at my house at the time. Not here, but the last place I lived over in College Park. And we would be to the point where, like, we would chill for a certain amount of hours, and I would, like, we would get sick of each other, and he would just go and, like, sleep in my yard, like, pass out in my backyard, like, on the grass, just because he's doing a lot of acid, too, and he's a bum. Like, he straight up where he was. He's homeless. Fucking, personal choice for himself. He went and traveled the country and came back, and he doesn't exactly have a bed to lay his head at each night, but he was staying at my house for a while. And we were doing a lot of acid, and he would just go out in my backyard and, like, fall asleep in the grass or fucking whatever. Fall asleep in, like, the chair or the bricks or, you know, whatever. And, like, my family would, like, my dad would come in, like, there's somebody passed out in the backyard. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's Chronic. He's like, that's weird. I'm like, no, it's cool. That's normal. You're fucking weird. Seriously? Come on, dude. Like, dude's sleeping. Leave him the fuck alone. Like things like that would happen. Just, like, small random-ass things would happen for, like, the entire week. And then, like, a month or two would pass, and, like, my head would kind of, like, come back down to, like, physical realm a little bit, and I would think back, like, holy shit, my friend was sleeping in my yard? Like...
And you would just kind of realize the insanity of what was happening.
Definitely. Exactly. It really does take over, and you're in a whole other mindset.
But
that's why.
It's wonderful, it's blissful, because that's how humans are meant to be, and that is the state to be in. Like, I'm not saying that that's bad, I'm just saying that shit's fucking weird when you come back. It makes you want to do more acid, kind of, but I cannot.
It does, because it's a better place on the other side. Like,
but being grounded is also important, because being grounded allows you to take the lessons that you learned on the other side and apply them to the physical world.
This is the realm we live in, so we have to learn to live in it, which is why I love... Some people do acid, and they sit and they meditate, and they're in a very calm environment. They're chill with a couple of close friends, and setting is everything, which I am all about. Those are the best times I've had, some of the best times I've had on acid, but also some of the most insane and insanely best times I've had have been taking a massive amount of acid and going to fucking Disney World, where there's tons of people fucking everywhere and chaos and shit, and there's roller coasters, and there's this and that, and some dude is dressed up like a fucking crazy ass animal over there, and you have some dude juggling some weird ass plates or some shit on the other side, and then you've got like this family that's like all miserable and shit, and they're pushing children that are crying, and then you've got another family that passes that's like smiling, but they're like, they're smiling to like a point of insanity where it's like, what the fuck, who the fuck did they murder on the way over here? They're smiling way too much, and it's like all of this shit is coming at you all at once, and you're just interpreting it, moving through it, and you're like fucking laughing, and you're like, hey, look at that wall, it's painted funny.
It's amazing. It really is an amazing feeling. That really was probably the best day of my life, is going to Disney on acid.
I feel like you have to have a really fucking good solid head on your shoulders to do that.
You have to, and you just, but you just laugh, like, it just, I feel like it's so refreshing because you just laugh. When we went to Disney, I seriously spent majority of the time crying because I was laughing so hard. I probably looked insane because I had my sunglasses on in the middle of the day and tears are just rolling down my face the entire time.
I can picture it.
And I'm just crying, but I'm just laughing so hard. And it was the best time of my life. It was so fun.
It's insane.
And it's so refreshing. It really is. It's like, it makes you feel alive. Like, it's like awakening, and it's just, it's great. It really is.
I feel like I would not want to be around all those people.
Yeah. Me either. I'm so introverted to where, like, if I were to sit down, if I hadn't done it, sit down and think about doing that, I'd be like, fuck no, I would never do that after experimenting with acid. But, like, before I even knew what being an introvert was, I fucking jumped the fuck into that setting and was like, shit, this is scary. And then I was like, oh, shit, this is actually kind of cool.
Hey,
there's a roller coaster over there. Like, I mean, I was doing acid every week, and then I decided to go to Disney and do it. And then after doing that a couple of times, I realized how introverted I am and what it means to be an introvert, and how, like, being around a group of people, I'm not thinking at, you know, the best capacity that I can, and I'm very kind of limited being in a large group or, like, meeting random people and shit like that. But
I think it's awakening though to see people when you're in that kind of state of mind and you see other people that are just going about, you know, their daily lives or whatever, even if they're at Disney, like just to see other people that are in a normal state and just feel so much better. Like it's just,
it also didn't hurt that I worked there and I was there on the street every day with people and being an introvert. So it's like, you know, fucking 300 days a week or 300 days, 300 days a week, 300 days. A,
300 felt like working there, huh?
300 days a year, you know, being around that shit. What is one day with super heightened senses? It's fucking nothing, you know? So it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm an introvert, but at the same time, I know what it's like to be way, 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 way the fuck outside of my comfort zone. So I'm like, I think the best alone, but at the same time, fuck it.
It's good to have that experience, I think.
Yeah, most definitely. Because I wouldn't be able to stand up here on a fucking podcast if I was fucking cowardly, you know. I wouldn't say cowardly. Just if my self-esteem wasn't as what it was, and if I wasn't used to talking to a very large group of people at one time, or used to letting my thoughts roll out, kind of tuning out but tuning in at the same time and just letting shit roll, then I wouldn't be able to do this shit. And I most definitely have psychedelics to at least say contributing factor to that, because as an adult, I don't know what it's like to be an adult without having done psychedelics, because I've been doing them since I was like 16. But I feel like I wouldn't be as confident and upfront and human as I was, or as I am, if I hadn't have done the amount of shit that I've...
That's experiences, yeah. Life experiences.
Yeah.
I feel like, back to what we were talking about earlier with how weed affects different people, I feel like smoking weed helps me see things as they truly are. And when I go through long periods of not smoking, I get into this shell and this robot mode where I'm just moving forward based on what I think is right. But then whenever I smoke weed, it makes me realize what is actually right and what I'm actually feeling.
I'll be back in a second.
We're losing Dolan, the moderator of this conversation.
So why do you think it would be, what did you say? It would be stressful being around that many people? Or
I think Ryan is an introvert too, to an extent. Yeah. Maybe not in this setting because, you know, he actually has to talk, but in a normal setting, when he doesn't know very many people, he's normally quiet. And I could see how, for you, that would be uncomfortable.
I'm definitely an introvert as well, but just, I don't know, it's more like, I don't know, it's kind of weird, because I wouldn't want that to be, like, my first time, like.
Right. You would want to be more focused on what you're... Yeah,
I hate to interrupt, but back to reality real quick. Somebody's parked behind my mother now, who's going to pick up my nephew, and...
So I have to move my car again? Will you move my car for me, since I already moved it once?
I can.
Thanks. The red car?
Just fill the silence. Don't stop talking and shit.
We won't. No, we're good. So would you say, Ryan, that you think that you... I've been drinking.
I hope it doesn't... I mean, you're just moving my car.
I don't know
how I'd want to word this, but do you think that you...
I don't like being in situations where I don't know...
You don't have control.
What's going to happen?
You know what? I don't know if maybe this is a Sagittarian trait or not, but whenever I'm around a lot of people, I'm very receptive to, like, the things that they're saying. And I feel like it's my nature to kind of add those things up and make something of that person in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the other day that it's important I can't figure out how to say what I'm thinking right now.
Not judge?
Yeah. It's important to, like, focus more on the details of that person rather than your opinions of the details of that person.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, going off of your opinions that are more like just, like, prejudice because it comes from nothing. It's just, like, your first... reaction to somebody, yeah, that's definitely dangerous.
Hmm.
But yeah, I feel like being around that many people, if I were tripping, would not be fun. I would be thinking about how I was acting the entire time. Yeah. And I already act silly all the time anyways.
Yeah, I don't think I would recommend a big group for, you know, your first time doing it. But I do think it's worth, like, it's an experience worth, you know, experiencing, because it's really enlightening. I mean, and I did acid when I was younger, like 16. That was my first time. And then the second time was at Guava, which was a big music festival in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I was nervous because I was like, I know there's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of crazy things going on. But I was all for it. And I think, but you have to have that mindset too, that you're ready and that you know you can handle it and that it's not going to kill you because you are ready for it. But if you go into it scared and like worried, then, you know, that's the kind of time that you're going to have.
That's just like any mind-altering substance. The mood that you're in before is magnified.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you're doing some kind of upper, in which case. I mean, even then it could magnify it. Sometimes people are anxious before they do Molly, and then they do Molly, and then they're freaking out the whole time. Oh my God, I can't find my friends. Oh my God. Like, chill. Your friends are somewhere in the same festival as you.
It's weird for me. I'm definitely like hesitant when it comes to like trying new drugs or something. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's just because I don't know what to expect, but like, it's weird because I've tried a lot of drugs that seem to have no effect on me. Like, I almost think that I'm like immune to certain drugs, like.
Such as?
I've tried acid once, didn't feel anything. I've tried Molly, didn't feel anything. I've tried Coke, didn't feel anything. I've eaten mushrooms a few times and I've never like truly like tripped out hard. I've just kind of
been
like...
Are you focused on not going to another place mentally?
That might have something to do with it, I think. I don't think that he would admit it, but I think that he might be nervous enough to where it kind of cancels it out. And also, I think it has a lot to do with the amount, like you said, because when we did acid together and it was only one hit, and for me it wasn't even that strong. So for him, who is super tall and probably like twice my size, it's... You know, obviously,
you
wouldn't do as much.
Would
for
have
him.
Needed more. Yeah. I'm really interested to know your moon sign, because your moon sign is like your inner workings and how you feel about your emotions and all good stuff.
I have no idea what time of day I was born. I was gonna fill that thing in, but I have no clue.
I'm amazed at how many people don't know their time of birth. That's something I was always fascinated with. Stuff like that when I was a kid. I always asked my mom tons of questions.
I think I was born at night. I'm not sure exact time, but I think it was around like 9:30 at night. Only
I was born.
I know the story of my birth, and it was like after dinner or something. So I think it had to be like 9 o'clock.
I was born at 1:11 in the morning.
I think I was somewhere like early in the morning like that too. I know that I was like difficult, and there was like some like complications with like my umbilical cord like wrapping around my neck, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
My roommate told me yesterday that she was born breech with her umbilical cord wrapped around her neck. And she's a very, like, you can tell she's always in this state of war.
Really?
Yeah, it made sense whenever I heard it. Yeah, like, it's always like she's fighting against something. She's fighting something that's not even there.
I knew somebody like that in high school. I guess he's still kind of like that, but he was always fighting against some internal factor, some demon, or some fucking crazy shit.
You can just tell they're always...
Not jobs.
At war.
Like Fabian.
That goes back to...
Fabian's demon, Fabian's battle is with fear. Like, I keep...
It has to do with mental... I don't want to say instability or mental issues, but I mean, really... That's what it is.
I saw a thing the other day that had the word fear, and then it said face everything and rise.
Yeah, exactly. But people don't.
They don't.
People don't
live in fear.
People don't understand that there is a spectrum, and that at one end is fear, and at the other end is love. And they don't get that. They're like, okay, so if I fear this and stay away from it, I'll survive.
I definitely think that that's how Fabian is, too.
Yeah. I've never thought of it. I've never thought of fear and love as opposites.
Yep,
I've
definitely.
Always thought of hate and love
hate?
As opposites. But if
but
you think of it...
Does hate not stem from fear?
I think hate stems more from...
Misunderstanding.
Maybe. And the need to protect yourself.
Fear of truth.
Yeah.
fear
but
of
the
harm?
Need to protect yourself is also fear. The fear of being
it's
harmed.
Fear. It's all fear. And all love. And anything in between is anything else. Any emotion that a human can experience. I mean, obviously happiness is closer to love and misery is closer to fear, you know, but it's a spectrum and you got two extremes, fear and love. That's
Do you
it.
Know in the Italian language, there are 7 words for love. And in English, we say like, I love pizza and I love my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like what?
And it's the funny thing about linguistics, because if you tell somebody you love them too soon, they're like, what? You know, but
love can mean so many things.
In Italian, it's like you tell somebody that you love them in a specific way of telling them.
Spanish
that.
Spanish is like
they
that too,
react
though.
As well,
it must be
Spanish is like that too, because my the people that watch Hayden all the time, they're Spanish and they're from Uruguay, and they say for him, they say te quiero mucho, which really means like I like you.
Where the hell is Uruguay?
Uruguay is. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
Somewhere. Uruguay?
I feel like that's in South America.
South America.
Yeah.
Let me Google it.
But anyways, they say
te
quiero mucho, which
God
means I like you, which really is not love, but it's a different kind of love, and they won't say te amo to him because I think that that's like a romantic type of love and not
See,
you
like,
know, like family.
In English, it's like I like you or like I like you. You know, it's like we really only have a very very small amount of weight.
I think some people
Uruguay is in South America, just to confirm.
All I know is that all drugs are legal there.
Great.
That's the only thing I know about that country. I
in Uruguay, though. Yeah. It's really poor, though.
The president, like, legalized all drugs a couple of years ago.
Like,
they don't care because they're all on drugs.
Ayahuasca.
Just kidding. That was awful.
No,
just kidding.
like, ayahuasca and shit in the Amazon, people travel there. Like, you know what ayahuasca is? You've all heard of ayahuasca?
No.
No.
Okay.
What's it called?
None of you have
heard of
ayahuasca.
Nobody knows this country.
Okay. you've heard of DMT.
Yes.
Dimethyltryptamine?
The drug, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
A chemical that's naturally released
in
your
brain. When you're born, when you die, when you dream. Apparently, there's some studies that counter
that. There's a
that,
movie
some
about
that.
That.
That. Yeah.
Anywho.
Well, you have to smoke DMT in order for it to be active in your body. But if you ingest a certain chemical, which the plant ayahuasca has in it, which is it does something to your metabolism, to where if you actually drink a brew that has DMT in it, you can metabolize it through your body, which makes the trip last a lot longer. And they call it the spirit of the vine. And
do people go through guided trips
yeah,
with this?
They have shamans.
I have a friend who went through a guided
yeah.
trip with that.
Yeah.
And he went into his body and saw snakes wrapped around his mm-hmm. intestines, and he pulled them out. And he said
yeah.
he was pulling out his
yeah.
demons. In reality, he vomited.
Uh-huh.
But,
purging.
Huh. Yeah.
Purging's a big thing on ayahuasca. There's also other, like, Averda. It's another psychedelic, which... That one gets inside the brain and gets into like the serotonin and the dopamine receptors, to where if you're addicted to anything, you can throw it out. I mean, it's a trip that lasts between like 8 and 32 hours, so you don't even fucking know. It's one of the most miserable psychedelics you can do, but psychedelics, the point isn't always having fun.
Why isn't that used more widely with people who are addicted to heroin and things like that?
There's clinics in Mexico. The issue is not so much people's choice, but more awareness.
Mm.
Like methadone.
Is it legal?
People fucking
here?
Give methadone out, but that shit's toxic. I mean, it helps, but...
What is it?
Methadone?
It's like a substitute for heroin.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it doesn't make you high, but it fucks with your dopamine to where you feel like you're... Not dopamine. I don't know exactly what it is that heroin affects, but it basically subsides the... side effects of withdrawal. It makes you feel like you're still on the drug when you're not actually feeling the drug.
Oh, okay.
But it's got like a
so
certain...
So it's like the satisfaction without the high.
They give it to addicts, yeah, like to try to...
But like Averde, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but that's the psychedelic, the mental process that you go through is some 80 to 100% times more effective than... I just said it. The dopamine, the heroin,
methadone.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm fucking drawing a blank on that. I just fucking said it like 2 seconds ago. But the psychedelic is—it's supposed to be one of the worst trips ever. But people don't always trip to have fun in the moment. A lot of psychedelics have more of an impact after the fact. like ayahuasca, you purge, you throw up, you have a miserable fucking time, and you see some crazy shit, demons that are torturing you, and fucking crazy things. You go to weird realms. But you come out of that, and you're like, yeah, I don't think I want to eat hamburgers anymore. You know, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of this heroin. You know, I'm not gonna do that shit, cause it's kinda silly. I'm not gonna do that. But I just found out that, South America and the Amazon, it's legal. People travel there to do that. But there's a Native American church here that you can join for some $20 a month. And they have, retreats you can go on that are like $100 something per retreat. Maybe $200 something. I'm not sure. I don't pay too much attention to dollar amounts. That you can go on these retreats, and it's in the middle of the fucking city. Like, you can hear cars and shit while you're tripping, but you hear the sounds of the jungle as well. You hear the vine, the spirit of the vine, and you go on these journeys, and you've got shamans there helping you. And there's one on fucking, what's the road that Kareem turns into that you used to live off, Heather?
Corinne? You mean Virginia?
Virginia. There's one in, like, Virginia and 50, or Mills, not 50. Virginia and Mills. Right around there, there's a fucking...
Is that near downtown?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mills 50?
Mills 50 area. There's one over there that you can join the Native American church, and you can go in and be a part of this, and go in and have a ceremony, and they'll give you the ayahuasca, and they'll give you the, there's different things. Like, there's one, I was talking about it with the guy that I do the float tank with, that operates the float tank, rather. Like, one of the owners, he was, saying there's this shit that you can, like, the shaman will blow into your nose, and it makes your third eye, like, vibrate to where, like, you feel that shit, and it decalcifies and opens instantly. There's these drops that he can put in your eyes, which are the most excruciatingly painful things ever for, like, 15 minutes. And then after that, you've got such visual clarity that it's insane. Like, there's a lot of different drugs and a lot of different sacraments that you can do to change the human experience and get rid of all that weird intestinal vibrational shit and, like, the weird shit that's in your heart, the weird shit that's in your... any of your chakras, anything that's held up all that blackness and that weird fucking, you know, smoky energy that's there that doesn't need to be there, and you can... The shit that you've been holding on to since you were a child, you can fucking get rid of that shit. That's what I want to do. Like, I don't feel like I've been meant to do DMT. But ayahuasca, on the other hand, shit.
I don't know. I think that's a bold step to take, to know that you're going to be miserable just for clarity in the end. I think I don't know if I'd be ready for something.
Coming
like
from
that.
A person that bathed naked in the ocean in like 30 to oh, like yeah. 25 degree.
I mean,
weather,
I've done stuff like that too before, and I admit it's refreshing and it's great, but. To know that you're going in and they're going to put some shit in your eyeballs, it's going to hurt like hell. And
but
you're just like,
I don't know if I'd do the stuff in my eyes, but as far as having my third eye decalcified, like immediately as soon as you said that, I started rubbing my forehead. Yeah. And then I realized afterwards that I was rubbing my forehead and how blocked my third eye is.
It's like this. Like, you're doing shit that's going to make you fucking miserable for a second, but you know that you're going to be okay.
It's like going to the dentist. Nobody wants to do it, but there's a positive outcome that comes out.
You get a sticker at the end.
Yeah.
I would trust some weird, like, Amazonian shaman more than I would a dentist. That's fucking weird.
I know there's tribes of people that use, like, peyote for, like, religious experiences.
Yeah. That's crazy, too.
What's peyote?
It's like a psychedelic that comes from a cactus. That's really all I know about it.
It's mescaline.
Oh, you know what? I think my dad told me about that. Don't Native Americans use that and then they see, like, animals in the smoke?
Oh, yeah,
it's
like there's really, mescaline, too.
I heard it's really
intense.
It's like the serpents that I was seeing on LSD. They all affect the same areas of the brain.
That's strange that you and your friends all saw serpents at the same time. Mm-hmm. One of my friends recently was dreaming repeatedly about snakes, and then she stepped on a black snake.
Serpents are a big part of humanity. Like, one time I was tripping. All of my stories.
one time at band camp.
Like, I've done psychedelics more times than I can. Like, I can't. Fingers and toes have far surpassed that. The last count that I had was at 65, and that was years ago.
Jesus.
I was tripping this one time on some weird research chemical, and this is after, like, floating in the pool and, like, my spine, like, completely coming into alignment, and, like, my friends were, and there was a chess game, and there's some crazy shit that happened. Like, I'll tell these stories later on in further episodes of the podcast. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that's how you get people hooked. Yeah. straight to the mouth of the fish, like, yeah, here, keep listening, bitches.
Now they're definitely going to keep listening.
I'll tell you, but not now.
Yeah, right.
Later.
I got a great story for you, but just wait.
So, I'm in my room, like, my friend, the bum friend that I was telling you guys about earlier, who was staying at my other house. This is years before all that. He was staying here at this house, and I'm in my room by myself, and I'm, like, reading material, and I, like, open a Bible that I haven't opened, like, a long-ass time, and I'm reading, like, Adam and Eve, and I'm, like, reading about fucking the serpents and, like, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and I'm like, this is all psychedelics. Like, the serpents, something you see on psychedelics, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? I mean, Amanita muscaria mushrooms. Like, the word, like, I found out later that the word that translates to fruit could also translate to mean red in the language that that chapter was originally written in, which red is the color of the Amanita muscaria mushroom. And there's a theory out there called the stoned ape theory, which states that...
I've heard of that.
Yeah. It states that lower-level primates, whatever it may have been at the time, migrated and came into an environment that was foreign, and they didn't have a lot of food or whatever, and they came across these mushrooms. They started eating them. They were psychedelic, and they developed a certain level of communication, you know, a certain cognitive function, and understanding that they could use a tool for this or that. And they had this knowledge, and they reproduced, like, the ones that had this knowledge in a different sense, and they raised their young in a different sense, and then those young reproduced with each other, and it's all because of this fungus that they were ingesting that made people think differently. And this fungus also, other theories state that this fungus may have actually, because fungal spores can survive in extreme environments, like comets, per se, or meteors when it's, like, freezing cold. Fungal spores can survive in that shit. So fungus may have come from another planet, came here, infected the primates that were already evolving in a way. And there's also another theory of the Anunnaki, which is, like, an alien race. It gets out there.
I was just about to say, meanwhile, aliens are just, like, chilling from afar, laughing at the chaos that's going on right now.
What if aliens sent the fungus... That's what I'm saying.
They're like, watch these monkeys eat this shit. Let's see what happens. What do you think is going to happen if we drop this in there?
See, my thing is, and this is within the same subject, science was written by man, and the Bible was written by man. Yet men are arguing about...
Both.
But man wrote both.
Yeah, and men are the ones that are arguing.
Yeah.
Testosterone!
All right, on that note, I have to leave. I have work in the morning.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up. We've far surpassed an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Good Clean Talks, you've been listening to. Thank you so much for listening. Bringing you this great content. Go buy my soap. Go to Good Clean Talk. GoodCleanTalks.com. Check out the links we have there. Support us in any way you can. This is only the 13th episode, so I don't know when this is going to be published or what we're doing time of publication, but support us in any way you can. Go to our website, we'll have links. Much love for listening. Thank you guys. Check out my buddy's band, Yankee. He's in Approach the Lion out of Deltona. They're fucking great metal music. I don't listen to metal, but I think they're fucking insane. Like, they're really good. You guys got anything you want to pitch?
If you listen to EDM, there's a multi-genre EDM event happening at Bakuri Sushi on December 10th, so come check it out.
Is that on Colonial?
Of 2015.
That is on Colonial. Yes, of 2015.
It is 15, right?
It is. Okay. That is the year.
I gotta double check. All right, thanks guys for listening. Much love, and have a great night. Stay tuned. I'll tell more stories about some insane trips. Oh, my neighbors are yelling. Yeah, by the way, we're recording on my back porch, so the crickets that you hear, that's not an added sound effect. They're,
it's real.
They're natural.
Ignore the background noise.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a sound studio within a couple of episodes, but stay tuned. Keep listening. Much love. Thank you. Good night. Namaste. All that good shit.